opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 4th of August, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, phone lines here are 605-4567 and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, Jared, buddy.
Good morning.
Jared, by the way. You know, Jared sounds like a, I don't know how, what you picture Jared. I saw Jared pick up a tree yesterday that must have weighed 150 pounds. Just bent down, picked it up, and there I was on the side grabbing leaves, trying to help him.
Poor Jared, he's,
Jared, you,
he was up,
man,
for the task.
If it wasn't for you yesterday, there would have been no new trees at the Bott house. You know that, right?
I do.
You know that, right? Okay, all right. But I can't thank you enough.
Yes.
For, you know, that's just the kind of family we got here, though. You know, that we try to help each other out. Okay, Linda, what's the
weather
like?
Well, in case you're looking outside, can we start this day that if you've never prayed before, can you please pray over the animals, the people, the environment with the smoke, with the fires that are just so engaged. And we do know, we have friends that have a beautiful 450-acre property that I was just at last week. And of course, we're all on pins and needles with, you know, how we think about how the beauty and, anyway, so today we have patchy smoke without 103. It is a red flag warning. Mostly clear tonight with 65. So just pray over the animals and the people.
I've got an update on the fires and it's not good. Not out there.
Thursday 94, low 67. Friday's hot with 102. Saturday's hot with 103. And Sunday will be 98. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793. And update on the fires.
Okay. And this is, I'm getting this from Record Searchlight. And this goes from last night. Jared, at some point this morning, if you get an update, we'll hit another one at 8 o'clock. But the Dixie Fire, 35% containment, 254,566 acres. 97 wildfires burning across the country. Several of the biggest ones, of course, are right here in Northern California or Southern Oregon. The 254,000-acre Dixie Fire, which is threatening more than 7,100 structures. And the Dixie Fire burning in Butte and Plumas is, you know, has... like I said, it's only 35% contained. Firefighters saved homes Monday in the small California community of Greenville. That was on Facebook. We shared that, in fact, yesterday. It looked bad, but it looks like they saved the town. It got strong winds, heat, and as CAL FIRE said this morning, stand by for some hard days. If they're saying it now. The Monument Fire in Trinity County, 9,000 acres, 0% contained. Many people around Lake Almanor, near Greenville, also being evacuated. Fire officials said the one, for the Monument Fire said the fire's behavior has led to an evacuation order for Cedar Flat and precautionary evacuations for Burnt Ranch, which we just drove by the other day, home of a close friend of ours, out there, that's where he was brought up. McFarland Fire in Shasta County issued some evacuations due to the McFarland Fire. It's burning both in Trinity County and the southwestern corner of Shasta County. The following areas under evacuations orders: Shields Road, White Rock Road, and Harrison Gulch Road from Highway 36 to Deer Lick Springs. if you've got a pre-evacuation order, my friends, make sure you got your meds, phone charger, any of those important documents, your animals ready to rock, any meds for them.
Yeah.
Those things that you can pile into your car or truck and get out of there with a moment's notice. Just have them standing by.
We recently visited some friends who did lose their house in the car fire, and they've relocated, and they've got their stuff super planned. They have right out the front door in their office all of the documents that they need at a grab.
And
everything they planned.
Are these the people that,
our friends that we visited, and they just,
And,
you know, not that they weren't organized before, but it was like, that's not going to happen to us. Well, they've really done the defensive space and they're ready.
Go ahead.
So one of the situations where when you have your friends that have places that are out there, are you not finished?
No, I'm not finished.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's only like a third through here.
Pardon
I'm sorry. McFarland Fire. Has doubled in size. It's 16,000 acres. That was Monday, so you can imagine how big it is now. And those evacuation orders were issued for Wildwood and Post Mountain and Trinity Pines. Highway 36 is closed from White Rock Road to junction with Highway 3. The smaller Monument Fire, about 25 miles west of Weaverville, has burned only 6,000 acres. Meanwhile, with zero containment. And the Dixie Fire, which you've already talked about, has been burning since July 13th, is just not slowing down. Let's see. Big Bar, Del Loma, ordered to evacuate. Now, the Tenant Fire we're talking about, they're thinking it could have been caused by lightning strikes. On Monday, Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office issued an evacuation order for the Antelope Creek area near Tenet. And that's where our friend's place is. And I heard from them last night. They're putting a fire line literally within a mile of their house, thinking, and they wouldn't say, yeah, we can save everything. They said, we're going to try.
Yeah. And here's something that I think.
Thoughts and prayers.
If you're listening to this show right now, they're one of the, in there, like I said, they're out, they're really out, out there, their ranch area, but anyway, so they had a certain kind of foam that was to be delivered, and the FedEx driver, the foam that's supposed to go around the house is a fire retardant kind of thing. And the FedEx driver, that was supposed to deliver it saw that there was a gate, and couldn't see the house, so he did not deliver the foam.
Gate, yeah, and the gate wasn't locked. The gate is a bar, you know, like a pole, you know, like a pipe that goes across, and it's not a heavy pipe, and it can move it around.
Yeah.
He didn't try, and because he didn't see anything,
maybe
no phone calls, nothing, he just left.
They have cattle crossing, and this would have been a few days ago when this transpired. So, you know,
Before the fire.
I just think that some people just don't pay attention to it's not easy and it's not there in front of their face. I don't know if it was a he or a she, but anyway, the thing is that, you know, what could they have done? And of course, we got this information last night. So much can happen in a period of, you know, this morning. And when I got up, if I sound a little shaky, it's because I was there last week. And this is a reality check that you just never know what, and from day to day, what can happen.
Okay, national news. Governor Cuomo is in deep trouble in New York. Biden's even said that he should just
step down.
And this is what happens with hubris. Hubris, to me, is when you think you're above the law and everybody else, you know, because you've done so much or you're so special, you know, those laws don't apply to you, or those moral guidance doesn't apply to you. The former governor of New York had to resign because he went down with his state patrolman at a escorts meeting escorts down in D.C. I think it was the governor of North Carolina, said he was hiking an Appalachian Trail, but he'd flown down someplace in Central America to meet his lover. I mean, you can go on and on and on. And Cuomo was one of the loudest detractors of Kavanaugh, saying if the woman says it, you've got to believe it. Well, right now, 11 women have stepped forward with statements saying that Cuomo had sexually harassed them, touched them, even molested them. And yet, Cuomo is backing up. And then his brother, Chris, who's on CNN, it looks like he was allowed to read confidential information on these women and helped his brother come up with explanations on this. And now this is a main commentator on CNN. So I would say Cuomo isn't much longer for him. And, you know, frankly, you know what, as Jared pointed out today, and Jared's right, that there's a lot of people that do that. But when you get caught, you get caught. Okay, we've got to take a quick break. We're coming up next is Chicks and Chaps, and we're going to talk about the event going. And then we've got a special guest at 7:30 with our Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but talking about this breakfast and their main speaker, a gent by the name of Teddy Gray. This is going to be a very interesting interview. All right, we'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. You can give them a call at 244-9478 for appointments. It's a veteran-owned business. It gives discounts for seniors and veterans, and it's man's last stronghold. That's Cypress Square Barbershop, the only place that I get my hair cut. We'll be right back.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
And 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Savings now at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Car wash coupons are a great gift or for your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash, next to Dutch Bros at the corner of Market and Eureka Way, downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we are here with a couple representatives for Chicks and Chaps.
Good morning, ladies.
Good
we
morning.
Have Sheila Hauer and we have Lynn Fritz. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, let's talk about September 18th. This is the last, well, we're always going to push this thing because it's a breast cancer fundraiser. Lynn,
yes.
Let's begin with you. Tell us, you're going to be the keynote speaker.
I am, and I'm going to talk about the power of women.
The power of women, and
yes.
Ain't it the truth?
Isn't it the truth? It certainly is, and I'm looking forward to the rodeo clinic. And you're going to be the mistress of ceremonies.
I'm so proud to be able to have been asked to MC this, and we've been involved with this event for what is it like? Is this the ninth year? Okay. And usually, when we've talked about this, people say, "Oh, I thought that went on during rodeo." Well, in the past, it has, and of course, COVID happened last year, and now this year, because of COVID. And because of not sure with how many people that was appropriate to have within the rodeo grounds at a particular time, it has been moved to September 18th.
And I think it's a great idea. It's actually going to, I think, be cooler in
yes,
September.
Absolutely. And Sheila, so you've taken over the lead rope.
Correct.
I like that.
I am this woman, this year's chairwoman for Chicks and Chaps.
And what does that mean for you?
You know, my mother had breast cancer, so it is a big deal for me. And I've worked on and off with Chicks and Chaps for the past 9 years, and I've really enjoyed volunteering for them. So this was a little bit of a challenge because of COVID. But we've got it all done, and we're really excited about it. It's going to be a really fun event.
So let's talk about the tickets, how people get them. I'm online right now. You can go to Facebook and go to the Chicks and Chaps page. There's just maybe a few tables left.
Correct. It's really important that everybody get their tickets because we don't have a lot of tickets left, and it is limited. We are going to adhere to all the guidelines as far as the amount of people, and we can move the venue outside if we need to.
Wonderful. Okay, so when people say rodeo clinics, let's can give a visual because you know on the air it's always give us what the day looks like. It's on the rodeo grounds in the Cowboys, right?
Right. We have several of our Reading Rodeo Cowboys showing up. We have our Queen. We also have a lovely reigning star from Fresno State who's coming down to join us, Bailey Alexander. And we are going to do our usual Bucky, which is simulates riding a bull. And we are also going to have
Here's my chance.
Right?
And you know what? Is there going to be are you going to have like a judge there? So
there's going to be people judging.
Okay.
I'm sure.
So there could be. I mean, there's a chance that you could win like a.
A chance you could win something extremely cool. That's one
okay.
of a kind. So,
I expect Linda to be on that. Bowl this year.
So there's going to be a stick horse barrel race. Which is always fun to watch.
BIA.
And some roping, and there'll be people there that can answer questions about rodeo. Anything you want to know.
I love it. I love it. And so every year they have a signature buckle that is just created, one of a kind for this particular event. And I know that Kathy, who is the owner of Mary's Pizza Shack, got the first year, and I got the second year. And, you know, it's fun to get together with the girls and outbid each other, because all of the funds that are raised for Chicks and Chaps stays local.
Correct. Everything stays local, and we help quite a few people in the community, which is really important to us. And there's always a need. And
well, some people, I think that we've heard from testimonies, Lynn, before, that maybe somebody is afraid to get a mammogram because they don't think they can afford it.
Mm-hmm. And this is a wonderful way to be able to support them, to make sure they do get a mammogram. By, you know, it's a simple $50. So it's a few cups of coffee,
right,
that you would put aside for this event. You get to be able to do the luncheon. You get to be able to hear guest speakers, live auction, silent auction. As Sheila was talking about the rodeo clinic, I love the people at Wrangler's sponsoring this event. And there's many other things, little tidbits you get that you can, you know, get through the live and silent auction. So it is about really making the difference for someone dealing with breast cancer, be able to support them. You know, they're impacted by cancer. It's kind of a whirl, you know, the world around them, and needing to find out preventative measures,
right,
that they can get a mammogram.
Right.
Well, as we have Dr. Pramila. Well, Pramila,
yeah.
Danuka, and also Dr. Brady, that, you know, three cancers, breast cancer, cervical cancer, and colon cancer, if you catch them early enough, mm-hmm, you can live a totally,
yeah,
full and,
yes,
long life.
Yeah.
And
here's,
and that's
the thing,
why the mammograms are so important.
The mammogram, and here's the other thing, too, is that, you know, cancer, even though you, like my best girlfriend, we're going to be seeing here very soon, moved to Texas, and boom, she got breast cancer. So she went through the radiation, she's gone through the chemo, and it's those little, the pill that you have to take afterwards, and,
yeah,
the effects, and the long acting after effects, and then, you know, so here's COVID, where's your support team, and can,
yeah,
I attend, can I not attend? So we're really in a place right now where if we're in small groups, we can do this.
Absolutely.
And so we just encourage you to go to the Facebook, Chicks and Chaps Breast Cancer Fundraiser, and we just have a few minutes left. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. I know it's early. Sheila's off to ride her beautiful boy.
I think it's also important to know that if you cannot make the event, we still accept donations to benefit local people.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, now how do we do that?
You know, you can contact me, 530-351-1961. Email the website. All the information is on there, and we can definitely, if you want to donate a basket to represent someone you love or for your business or whatever you want to do, we'd be happy to take it.
Oh, I love that.
And
okay.
Like Lynn says, is there's women out there that,
yeah,
If for some reason they don't have the information, maybe they don't have that money, that this is what Chicks and Chaps does.
Yes.
And it also acts as a place that people can come and get information and also support.
Absolutely.
So,
and
well,
there's
the
also music. You're going to have a wonderful entertainer.
Jack Singleton will be there singing for us, and he's just a wonderful young man, so a local boy. And he's recorded in Nashville, so we're pretty excited about,
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he and his guitar.
And I don't want people, because I've been on the fringes of this thing, of this for years, and I don't want you to think this is, oh, my gosh, it's so serious. Absolutely not. The ladies are whooping it up, but they're doing, they're raising money for a great cause. Everybody has a super good time.
They do.
Absolutely.
A little beer and alcohol with your,
yeah,
lunch.
Oh, yeah.
You're really finding out more about the rodeo, but again, it's called Chicks and Chaps. It's a fun, F-U-N, raiser. Of course, all of the monies that will be gathered that day and donated will stay locally, and I love this event. It's one of my favorite things that I get to attend to be a part of. We appreciate that both of you know the work that goes into making an event like this successful. Just a couple tables left, folks. That's why we've got the gals on this morning. We want you to get out there and get these tickets. It's just, what can I say? Until you've attended it and been through, experiencing what it is to be around these women, you just have missed out.
Wear your jeans, wear your boots. Wear your pink shirt if you have one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Be ready to, if you want to have those one-of-a-kind.
Yeah.
Chicks and Chaps belt buckle, one-of-a-kind.
And a one-of-a-kind experience as well.
And a one-of-a-kind experience, so be ready for all that.
So I'm looking forward to hearing you, Lynn, with you as the keynote speaker, yes. Lynn Fritz. And Sheila, thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for including me as well. I will be there with my cowgirl bell on.
Yay.
Good girl.
Woohoo! All right. We're going to have to take a break here, and this is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. Coming up, we've got some special guests, and we're so grateful again to our guests that were and coming up.
We're going to be talking about the Coaches Appreciation Breakfast and empowering the transformational coach men and women, and coaches at all levels. They're having a breakfast here, and coaches many times spend more hours with our kids than we do. So they learn a lot, and it's so important that they are the mentors we've always want them to be. And their guest speaker, Teddy Gray, who is a former football player out here, has had a very, very interesting life, and he's going to be also calling in at 7:30.
So all right.
We'll be right back.
Californians can make history this summer, first by recalling Gavin Newsom, and on the same ballot electing a conservative leader with a proven record, Ted Gaines.
Hi, this is Ted Gaines. As a state lawmaker, I fought the tax and spend liberals at the Capitol. As an independent business owner, I fight big insurance companies on behalf of small businesses. On California's tax board, I fight to uphold Prop 13 and protect homeowners and taxpayers. I'm running for governor because we can rescue our state from Newsom's failed agenda. As your governor, I'll slash the gas tax and keep cost of living in check. I'll stop liberal plans to defund the police, and I will veto any bill that raises taxes, period. You deserve a governor who can transform California into a safe and affordable place to raise a family. I'm Ted Gaines. That's my pledge to you. Please vote yes on the recall and vote Ted Gaines for governor.
Visit TedGaines.com. Paid for by Gaines for Governor 2021.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebot. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Ever since they opened, Cornerstone Community Bank's been helping people, and it is a community bank, locally owned, locally run, locally local people as employees and a local board of directors. That's as local as you can get. When the PPP came out last year, when people were really faltering, Cornerstone Community Bank was the stalwart for this. In fact, other banks were sending their customers to Cornerstone Community Bank to be helped. That tells you what kind of people they are. They've got three branches, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, one at 1845 California Street, right here in downtown Reading, and the main branch at the Cobblestone Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue, and they're opening their newest one in Anderson soon. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. Now, we're here with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And we got Coach Grandel, who was the coach out at West Valley for 35 years. Norm Slosset, who is the Northern California Fellowship of Christian Athletes director. Good morning.
All coaches.
Good morning.
And you're getting ready to have a breakfast August 7th from 8:30 to 10:30 at the Stirring. You're giving away the first 3D, the three-dimensional coach book for people that are attending. Tell us a little bit about the event, and then we'll go to Teddy.
Sure. Well, we're very excited about the event, and I actually have to give credit to the Stirring. The Stirring approached Coach Grandel. He's an attendee there, and expressed their interest in appreciating what coaches do in the community, and so Coach Grandel talked with me. We've been longtime friends, and said, "Hey, we'd like to get Fellowship of Christian Athletes involved." So we're partnering, coming alongside the Stirring as they reach out and express appreciation to coaches in the community.
And the
love the movement.
It is, and as we were talking on a break here, is that coaches spend as much time or more time sometimes with these students and with these student athletes than their parents do.
Absolutely, yeah. We're with them a lot. We have an audience with them, and you know, we have a responsibility to be, you know, helping them to become men of honor and ladies of honor. You know, and the coach has a huge impact.
Do you ever make references when you're coaching people about maybe do you look alongside of the Olympics and maybe cite, like, this was look at how this person really presented themselves? It's important, don't you think, about how you present yourself too, with your honor as a team, as an individual, and how you represent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we want to do with student athletes is encourage them to take responsibility for the privilege that they have to be playing sports. In our society, athletics and athletes are sometimes put on a pedestal on campuses, whether it's middle school, high school, or college. Oftentimes they play a role of leadership in that community. And we believe that student athletes, sometimes because they've grown up in sports, have developed some leadership skills it just depends on which direction they're leading. You know, they could be in a negative sense or it could be in a very positive sense. So if we can reach the student athlete, we believe that we can actually influence the ethos of the culture on a school campus.
Okay, now, Coach, we have Teddy Gray on the line, and he was one of your former students.
Former athlete.
Mm-hmm. And good morning, Teddy.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being flexible with us this morning. Coach has told us about you. Would you like to tell the people, and cause since you're going to be the keynote speaker there, would you mind telling our audience a little bit about Teddy Gray?
Sure. So I attended West Valley High School from 92, and I graduated in 1995. I played football for Coach Grandel, and I wrestled as well. And, you know, like many young men, young people, came from a home where my parents had divorced. I initially lived with my mom and continued to attend West Valley. And I, like the coaches were talking about a minute ago, I probably spent more time with Coach Grandel and some of the other coaches at West Valley than I did with my parents. Certainly, my mother. She was a young mother, and after my parents divorced, she kind of began to, you know, stay away from home and left me and my brother at home for, you know, would start out for a weekend at a time and then eventually would be a week at a time. So eventually I went back to live with my dad, and he knew the relationship that I had with my coaches and the influence that they had with me. And he wanted to make sure that I stayed attending West Valley and playing for Coach Grandel. So I graduated in 95. I was a mediocre student, a mediocre athlete. But what I'm going to be talking about this weekend is the difference between transactional and transformational coaches. And Coach Grandel was a transformational coach. And what that meant and what that means to me is it wasn't about what he could get from me, but what he could pour into me, the value that he could add to my life. And so, you know, I took some lessons that, you know, I have with me today. And even though I didn't always do what I knew was right, I always knew what the right thing was. So just for the audience, in 1999, me and a couple of my friends at that time made a series of terrible choices. We committed several crimes, armed robberies, one of which resulted in the death of a father and a son. And for those crimes, I was sentenced to 40 years to life in California State Prison. And because Coach Grandel was a transformational coach, I don't think that he saw that his job was done with me. And so for the next 20 years, he continued to visit me in prison, add value to me, call me up to be the man that I was created to be. And live according to the principles that I had learned from both my father and from the coaches at West Valley. So, you know, for the next 10 years, that was the nature of our relationship. And I took what I learned as a young man in high school and what I continued to learn through my early years in prison, and I eventually started some sports programs in prison. I believe that sports was a platform to build community. I believe that coaches have the responsibility to use their platform for more than winning games. It's more about building character and community than it is about X's and O's and wins and losses. And I knew the power of the platform, and I used it in prison to build community and bring people together across race, The prison is a very segregated place. It's all segregated based on race and gangs. And I use sports to build community in that context. And, you know, coach would come in and share a little bit about what the team was doing, and I'd get to share a little bit about what our teams were doing. And there was a lot of other work that I was involved in during my time in prison, but eventually, kind of doing the right thing on the inside and making sure that I was preparing myself and equipping myself for to be able to add value when I got out, paid off, and last year my sentence was commuted by the governor. And since that time, I've been working as an executive director of a nonprofit. And what we do is help people who get out of prison get connected to meaningful employment. So that's a little bit about me in a nutshell.
You know, Teddy, you said the coach visited you.
Yes, sir.
While you were in prison. Did you have a lot of visitors?
No. I had four.
Okay.
Coach Grandel, my dad, my current wife. I was married on June 12th. Coach Grandel was there, and my grandmother. So, my dad, his wife, my current wife, and my grandmother. Those were my four visitors.
Okay. You know, you went to jail for something that you did. I sense in you that it was, you know, you said it, you made some terrible mistakes. But that you found a new purpose, and that you've been able to, finding that purpose, go on in your life and try to make a difference in those who have also made bad decisions in their lives, to try and get them back into our a good place in our society.
Yes, sir.
We got to take a quick break here, Teddy, and we're going to come back. And I want to talk a little bit about your organization, how you're helping people, because and where do you live now? Do you live here in California?
Yeah, I live in Folsom.
Okay, in Folsom. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I can make a joke about that, but I won't. Okay, I'm sorry. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back with Coach Grandel and Norm Slauson, but Teddy Gray especially here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends right over at Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody knows more about repairing windshields than Jeff Wurst. He's been doing it for a couple of decades. He's been through a total, education by going through a variety of automotive repair schools. He's truly a worksman from the old school. He's very professional. He guarantees his work for life. Did I say it was a veteran-owned business? Well, it is. He's not going to take a chance with your safety or your family's safety, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. Jeff can fix it. Our big RVs with that little chip in your windshield, knowing that it's going to be horrible, Jeff can fix that. For an appointment, for a free consultation, give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment, or stop by 3208 South Market Street. He fixed a crack in my windshield now 13 years ago and still can't see it, and it hasn't gotten any better, bigger. We'll be right back with the Christian Fellowship of Athletes right after these messages.
Summer takes flight at Turtle Bay's Wings of Summer Butterfly Exhibit, open June 19th through August 15th. Experience hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil and enclosed garden. Access is free for Turtle Bay members and included with park admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or a four-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our fall semester will offer more in-person classes on campus and
more in-person student services. We'll continue to offer many of our classes via our flexible online environment for added convenience and choice. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or a certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And Shasta College, our industry partners, are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill many of the positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan your tomorrow today. Fall semester classes begin August 16th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
Join us Wednesday, August 4th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Wind River Resort and Casino in Redding Rancheria for our annual Discover Health Fair. A day filled with free health screenings, information, crafting vendors, and much more. All ages are welcome to this free event with special activities for the kids. Contact Tim Rodriguez at 530-226-1734 or Kaylee Capobianco at 530-339-7457. Brought to you by the Redding Rancheria Tribal Health System, Redding Rancheria, and Wind River Resort and Casino.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Cinerama presents Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, August 13th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for this 21 and over event featuring craft beers, live music, tasty food, and more. Get your tickets today at the Turtle Bay Museum or online at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM with Carl and the Bot. It is 7:51 in the morning, 68 degrees out there, going up to 100 and blah, 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 today.
Today will be 103, and of course we're under a red flag warning.
Yeah.
Patchy smoke today in the skies, mostly clear tonight with overnight lows of 65.
Hey, think about those firefighters out there, our first responders, and everybody that's out there supporting them. Trying to get their arms around these fires. It's just, and these are just part of the fires that are burning across our country right now. We're here with a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They're having a breakfast this Saturday from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. at the Stirring. For tickets, you can RSVP to, excuse me, to Angie@thestirring.org. Or I'm going to get some phone numbers and stuff, too, if people want to call. So we're here with Coach Grindel, coach 35 years at West Valley, Norm Slosted, who is the NorCal Fellowship of Christian Athletes Director. But our guest on the phone is Teddy Gray. Teddy was a student at West Valley. He said, as he says, a mediocre student. Once he left school, he got in and to... with some other fellows doing a series of bad things and ended up in the California prison system sentenced to, I believe, 40 years to life. And Teddy, thanks for joining us. Teddy, Linda had a question during the break, was what was it that clicked in you while you were there? I mean, because prison, you can either become worse.
Yeah.
Or you can become better. What was it?
So, Well, I don't know if this is a religious radio show, but
no.
For me, I could just speak from my experience, and I think that God had a hold of me through every bit of that. And when I turned 30 years old, I had made up my mind, and in the language I like to use is I planted my flag, but I'm not going to let prison define who I can be, who I can be friends with, who I can hang out with, or what I can do with my life. And I understood that might come with some consequences, but you know, unfortunately, it took me to the age of 30 to have the moral courage to do what was right when it was real. I was in a place where it was sometimes really difficult to do the right thing. But by the time I was 30 years old, I was pretty convicted that I needed to plant my flag and not allow my circumstances to define who I could be or what I could do with my life.
And then you had the strength of character to follow through with it.
I like the term you planted your flag.
Yeah.
And you didn't, you know, that's the line in the sand. This is who I am. Don't cross it. I'll take whatever I've got to take, but this is who I am. And, there's an energy that happens that spills out. And everybody, once you do that, I think everybody realizes this is the real deal. And so I love the visual.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Linda's a visual person. Now, tell us about your organization.
So in 2008, my dad kind of recognized the change or the transformation that I was making for myself in there. And we started talking about some things that we could do to add value to the community where I was living. And so we co-founded a nonprofit organization called the CROP Organization. It's an acronym for Creating Restorative Opportunities and Programs. And like I said, early on, I didn't have an education. I hated school. Probably only graduated school because it was required to play sports. But at that, you know, in 2008, I didn't know a whole lot about what was wanted or needed to change prison culture. I just knew that I was going to use sports. I played the guitar a little bit, and so we started the CROP organization to fund sports programs and music programs in prison. And so for the next few years, that's all it really did. And I was at that time was housed at High Desert State Prison. Once my points were reduced, I was transferred to a lower security prison down in Soledad, and that's where I started my education, went to college, eventually went on to get a bachelor's degree in healthcare administration and a master's degree in organizational leadership. And in that process, I really learned a lot about evidence-based programming, and we developed an alcohol and drug counseling certification program in prison. And we used CROP to fund that effort. The program graduated 33 counselors on the inside of CCS Soledad. And all of those, 27 of the 33 men have been released, and about 22 or 3 of them are working in the field. But those guys at that time really became the rehabilitative backbone of CCS Soledad. Delivering programs every night of the week, the gym was filled up with small circles of men going through various programs, and all of which was being facilitated by the counselors that our program had graduated. And from the beginning, we always knew that providing people with a career was one of the key factors for helping make sure that they didn't recidivate or return to prison. So When the governor commuted my sentence, he actually commuted both mine and Jason Bryant's sentence, who was one of my co-defendants in 1999, and was an integral part of everything we were doing at CTF Soledad from 2010 to 2020. He commuted both of our sentences, and we kind of hit the reset button on what we wanted to do with the crop organization. And because of COVID, we couldn't go back into the prison immediately. So we started thinking about what we could do in reentry. So how can we help people as they're coming out to make sure that they don't reoffend, re-victimize people, and return to prison?
Hey, Teddy, I am running out of time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you got out, you started this, or you became involved with this, which, by the way, I think is wonderful because you know more than anybody, somebody coming out of prison, it is so easy to get back in there.
Yep.
And what's the name of your organization?
The Crop Organization.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to please come back again. I realize okay. You're down in Folsom, but to come and to call us again because I want to go back through this whole thing. But Teddy Gray is going to be the keynote speaker this Saturday at the
Stirring.
At the Stirring for the Coaches Appreciation Breakfast put on by the Christian Fellowship of Athletes, along with Coach Grandel and Norm Slosted. But Teddy's going to be the main speaker there, the keynote speaker. It's going to be this Saturday. August 7th, it's free. That's the other thing. It's free.
Just show up. You don't have to feel like you have to.
8:30 to 10:30 at the Stirring Catalyst Center. And the reason they want you to RSVP is so they have an idea how many eggs they need to cook. So, Teddy, thank you. You know what, Teddy? I realize that.
And the coaches.
Coming today. I realize that you did make those mistakes. But, you know, God love you that you can. Got past that, and you're devoting your life to helping other people that made mistakes because, you know, we all make mistakes. And trying to keep people on a line where they can become successes, which is what we try to do.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
Well, no, it's true. It's true.
I appreciate that. Before we get off there, I just
sure.
want to say, Coach, tell Coach Grandel that I love him and I appreciate him. And who would have thought we'd be here when you were in there visiting me?
Yeah.
So thank you, Coach.
God's good. I love you too, and so proud of you.
Okay. Thanks so much, Teddy, for joining us. And coaches, thank you for everything you do. Like we said,
thanks for having us.
Well, you know what? I appreciate the difficulty of doing that. And then when you get a guy like this, you've reached him. You reached him. Thanks, Coach. All right. Hey, we come back. We've got Reading Police Chief Bill Schuller joining us.
And Martha's Vineyard, with hundreds of people invited, has canceled the large-scale event as COVID-19 cases spike. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is down 271 points, while the NASDAQ is trading 5 points higher, the S&P 18 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Let's be boring and do a commercial about cash out refinances. It's Ryan, and our mortgage team will often have a listener say, I think I understand what a cash out refinance is, but can't that be bad for you sometimes? So let's hit on that. As with anything, it's certainly not the right move for everyone. If we don't have to, we don't want to add a bunch of years onto our loan or increase our monthly payment too much or pay more in the long run. But because home values have skyrocketed so far up the last few years while rates have come so far down, we've seen many scenarios where listeners today can pull out a significant chunk of money from the new value in their home while lowering the years on the overall loan, while lowering their monthly payment, and lowering how much they ultimately pay. The key is to just look at the whole picture and be honest with yourself about your situation. If you're looking for someone to show you your options, we are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
China's worst coronavirus outbreak since the start of the pandemic a year and a half ago has escalated, with dozens more cases around the country and the sealing off of Wuhan.
In Wuhan, the central city, where the first cases of COVID-19 were identified in late 2019, mass testing has shown some of its newly reported cases are being caused by the highly transmissible Delta variant, first identified in India. The city has ordered residential communities sealed, preventing people from leaving their homes. In a subsequent order, officials say no one, whether tourist or resident, can leave the city. Meanwhile, another COVID-19 hotspot emerging is in a scenic area, famous famous for caves, forests and waterfalls that inspired the on-screen landscape in the Aviator films. I'm Charles Diledesma.
Lebanon, marking 1 year since the horrific explosion at the port of Beirut, there's a national day of mourning. Townhall.com. A family affair or a conflict of interest? The question being asked of the Cuomo brothers.
Brother to brother or newsman to governor? A new report says New York Governor Andrew Cuomo got advice from his kid brother, CNN host Chris Cuomo, as he tried to address the sexual harassment allegations facing him. The report says that Cuomo, who worked at CNN, was one of several outside advisors who had an in to the governor. The report contains a copy of an email that Chris Cuomo sent his brother's advisors, telling him to say that the governor never meant to cause any offense or harm with his behavior. CNN is referring reporters to past statements on the issue. One of them said the network felt Cuomo acted inappropriately. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
Growth in the services sector, where most Americans work, increased to a record pace in July, even as businesses continued facing challenges hiring workers. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yeah, here we are. It's Wednesday and hump day. Okay, now the rest of the week from today is downhill. We're on the downhill slide. Good morning, everybody. It is August the 4th, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's not just the medical arts that they practice over there. It's the support of our community in so many different things that Shasta Regional also should be recognized for. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, Jared. Buddy, what national day is it?
It is Coast Guard Day.
Coast Guard Day. Yeah, good. Semper Paratus, always ready.
Cool.
Yeah, that's their motto. And Linda's here with the weather. And do we have an update? Do you have a newer update? Has it come out yet on any of the fires?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, right. Currently 68 degrees in the downtown studios. Today we're going to have 104. Patchy smoke today, mostly clear tonight with overnight lows of 65. Tomorrow calls for sunny with a high of 94. Overnight lows Friday at 102. Overnight lows tomorrow night 67. Friday calls for 102. Saturday 103 and Sunday 98. That is the forecast here. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. You know, Carl, I don't know what to think. There's a guy that walked in here this morning and he's got open carry. Is that legal?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure, but maybe we should ask. Maybe we should go to the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday and say we see people doing open carry here, right here in Reading. It may have something to do with the badge he's wearing now. Chief Bill Schuler.
Good morning.
Chief.
Good morning.
Oh, isn't that great? Linda starts off. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit during the break about this guy, Teddy Gray. Arrested, sentenced for murder. He wasn't a star athlete in high school. He was a mediocre athlete, not really a good student. He just went to school because he had to.
Okay.
Got into trouble afterwards and then totally transformed his life.
In prison.
How many of those? What do you think that percentage is, Chief? I mean, any idea?
It'd be a very random guess, but you don't see it often. I can tell you that. Especially a conviction like a murder conviction or whatever, that's very, very, very rare.
Yeah.
Usually the folks that go to prison for those kind of sentences or don't get out, or when they do get out, they go right back in. So,
and that's what he said, the recidivism rate. And that was part of this organization he is in, is to help prisoners when they leave get on the line where they can get jobs and make something of themselves. But I imagine that percentage is terribly small. That I've always read that, and I've heard from guards there, that prison is just a good training ground.
Yeah. Well, people. I think if you want to look at a bright point of AB 109, I think that was the original intent, was to try and get people out of that prison system and into local control and get them into some rehab and programs to get them back into society. I think the original intent of that was good. the way they funded it, the way they just did it and implemented it so quickly without communities being like Shasta being able
right.
being ready and
prepared. And be able to build up for that.
Right, be able to build up. Right. That was the problem with that.
Yeah.
And then now having folks that are doing multi-year sentences in jail, I don't think that was the original plan there. Those folks should still be going to prison. So I think the original intent probably had, that was probably what was behind it way back when, but it has morphed into something that's not so good at the moment.
Well, before in the jail, we were able to take gang members and the real bad guys and get them out of there.
Right.
Now, no, they're staying there for a few years and they are the PhDs for our young criminals that are in there.
Yeah, they are.
I've heard from the show.
Yeah, it's very much you said earlier, it's kind of a training ground. So you've got these folks that are serving, that have been in prison, that have come out, now that they're serving 2 or 3 or even 10-year sentences, and they're kind of running the show there. It's unfortunate. We need a different type of jail to manage those kind of folks. And I'm hopeful we'll see that at some point.
Okay. Well, good morning.
Well, how's it going?
Good. Good. We had a council meeting last night. I got to present a couple citizen awards. I don't get to do that very often, so that was nice. We had.
Can you mention who they are?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot.
I'm sorry.
You?
Well, that's right. You can look it up because I know there's a gazillion things.
I don't want to say names incorrect, but one was somebody named Pam, and I don't remember her last name. I mispronounced it twice last night. But she is part of United Shasta, and she adopted Henderson Open Space, now called NERPON. And her group have really taken over Henderson and tried to help us clean that place
up. That's cool.
I mean, that is,
man.
Just, you know, several years ago before you were chief, it was so bad. You know, we did a whole show on it, you know, writing letters, and they went down there, and because things like fireworks going off, chainsaws, people fornicating on people's yards, using them as bathrooms and all of this. And it slowed down. I mean, it was better.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And then it started picking up again. So, you know, a place like United Shasta or an organization like that going down there.
Go for it, Pam. Yay.
I know the only thing that's going to stop that is people coming through there at a regular basis.
And Pam putting together a team that is like, this is the dedication. I mean, you got one guy, if I'm not mistaken, his name is Bob or something.
No, Bob retired.
Okay.
The one
that
goes around.
He used to go around and, I mean, the guy, okay, so now we have citizens like Pam.
Yeah. I just had my assistant and two of my staff members text me her last name. It's Hamar, H-A-M-A-R.
Okay.
Yeah. And she,
nice.
Yeah, it was nice to give her an award because she's done a lot. And NERPON is, what it's called now, has been completely transformed into this new park that will be opened at some point in the next couple of months. They're delaying the opening to bring in some groups like United Shasta and others to start walking through on a daily basis and going through the new trails and the new bridges and all of that in there. And so that'll probably be open, according to, the parks director, Kim Niemer, probably the end of September or October. So
well, that's a good
nice.
Time when weather's cooled off and people can go down there, because the only way we're going to take that place back is to take it back by using it.
Like, we're using it all the time.
We can't fence it off.
Right.
Even though there's some places that fencing off is the only thing you can do.
Yeah. And we'll be down there as much as we can. But, yeah, we need people to enjoy the park system down there and actually use it. And that'll keep the riffraff away.
Yeah, not have to carry extra ammo.
And without putting you on the spot, who might have been the second citizens?
Oh, so we had a river rescue in 2020 where some people in a raft had flipped over on the Sacramento River. The boating safety unit from the sheriff's office was coming, but they were, as usual, they have to launch from an area to get to us. So one of our officers was off duty, just going off duty. He lives off the Sacramento River. He grabbed his neighbor and a friend, Dwayne Shoemaker and Darren Webster, and they jumped in a river boat that they had and went upstream and pulled three people out of the river.
Oh.
And the other couple were picked up by the helicopter by H-16. So we were able to give them a Citizens Award, too. So it's always nice to do something fun like that at a council meeting and present some awards. We don't get to do that often, as I said. So it was enjoyable.
Oh.
The You know, and
heroes.
And speaking of that, we just had somebody drown at Whiskeytown.
Yeah.
Somebody drowned also, and then somebody jumped off a bridge someplace, but that's kind of different. But somebody drowned, I did not realize that Whiskeytown had rip currents in there around the dam.
By the powerhouse there.
By the powerhouse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple people got in trouble, but they were able to save one. So again, Whiskeytown, you never think about that, but yeah. That there's signs out there says don't swim here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason for that.
There is a reason for that.
We're going to take a quick break with Reading Police Chief Bill Shirley. We want to talk about some of the things going on around here. Public safety, of course. The county has, as we know, has just appointed Eric Magrini in a position, and his position is I would describe it as a public safety coordinator. I think that would be the right term. And what kind of impact do you think that could have when we come back from the break?
Sounds good.
Okay. This portion of the show is brought to you by Linda's, you talk about man caves. Linda's got a girl cave, a woman cave. And where is that, Linda?
No, I mean, seriously. I mean, when you have a jewelry need or a watch to be repaired or batteries to be replaced or, you know, something like, you know, maybe a chain link or whatever, you know, you're thinking about that as you're going through. Maybe mom or aunt or grandmother has left an estate piece to you and you just need to have it, valued for your insurance or just to be cleaned and looked at. The folks at Four Winds Jewelry are just great folks. 2225 Hilltop Drive for all your jewelry needs. They are on Hilltop Drive, 222-2750. And they open early, so give them a call today or go by.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back with Reading Police Chief Bill Shuler. I've really enjoyed...
And my time was running wild in the dead-end streets.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slate, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Linda Bott, 819, and Linda's got the weather here.
Patchy smoke today with a high of 103 and overnight lows of 65. It's currently 67 degrees in the downtown studios as we progress through the week. Sunny tomorrow, 94, Friday, 102, Saturday, 103, and Sunday, 98. It is a red flag warning for our fires and our smoke and the heat.
Okay, and we're here with and the new the weather's brought to you by
Shasta Gas Propane
and
Ian Anderson.
We're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Schuler, and I asked a question before we left, and the on what kind of impact as the coordinator of public safety. And that's, the, you know, a public safety coordinator. That's kind of the title I came up with. Maybe I read it. That Matt Pontes appointed Eric Magrini as his deputy. What do you see from this?
Well, we talked about it a minute ago. I know, because I've had these conversations with Eric, one of his major projects is to work on building a new jail. And that is going to be one of his primary focuses, trying to figure out how to fund that, staff that, get a jail built to support our community. So that's project number one, and that is much needed. And so I'm excited that he's going to be able to work on that. And then I know he's, I was just talking about this yesterday, he's working on expanding the county's enforcement of illegal marijuana. I'm fully in support of that. There's a lot of damage being done to our community, into our county and our park, not our parks, but our national parks and our forests and stuff with marijuana, and we need to get a hold of that. So I'm excited they're going to deal with that legal issue too, and that's one of Eric's priorities. So I think having that extra help, and I think that also help our new sheriff, Mike Johnson, as he gets his feet wet in this big organization, and I think it'll be good to have that support there. So I think it's good for the county.
Well, he knows all the players.
He does.
And he knows all the funding and the grants and all this. And you know what? If we do nothing else but build a jail.
Right.
That's all we need right now.
Yep.
You know, and then go from there.
Yep. We need a jail. We need a bigger jail. We need a different kind of jail. We need a jail that has more of a prison-type system where you have pods for those hardcore offenders, those ones that are serving long-term sentences. And you need a... kind of like what we talked about with the rehabilitation center, a lower level area for those misdemeanor offenders that are, you know, the ones that are causing some of the blight that we're dealing with downtown, and being able to deal with those folks, get them into rehab, get them mental health counseling, job training, and then get them out of that cycle.
And there's organizations out there that do that. So
right.
it's not like we have to pay for that. We just have to give them space to be able to do
this. There's plenty of organizations ready and willing and able to jump into that.
So it's not going to cost the taxpayers anything.
Yeah,
really.
And there's a lot of money from the federal government and elsewhere in order to support programs like that. And then those that don't want to get the help, then we just have a place where they can sit until
okay.
we make that change.
Let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Concise.
I'm back to Henderson Open Space, and you're going to get all the homeless and the bums cleaned out of there. I think that's great, but where are they going to go? You know, you've got to have a solution, that not just move them from spot to spot to spot. And obviously, you guys are aware of that. Have you got any plans for that?
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, good question. Yes, so we're always working on solutions to provide more transitional housing in Shasta County and Redding. And so the city is looking at the tiny home project, and we have done a lot of work on that. It's been approved by council, and will be, I believe, as a first reading. We'll go into a second reading to make a new ordinance soon, if it wasn't done last night. And we'll be able to get some partners in our community to be able to build these tiny homes or buy these tiny homes, put them on their property. The mission's going to start first, and that'll give some areas for those that want to get the help they need get off the street. And you're right, we are moving around from one place to another, but I am not a supporter of a place to just go and camp. We've seen areas of our country that have done that, and it causes a rise in crime, especially violent crime, sexual assaults. It's not a good format to just allow people to go camp somewhere and just leave them alone. And then managing something like that, it takes a huge amount of resources. So we're going to continue to enforce our illegal camping laws as we can and clean out those camps and get our open spaces back to our community.
You know, my only concern about these the little houses or whatever it is, and it's just going to be a sleeping house with a, I guess, with a communal shower and bath and that kind
right.
of thing. My only problem with that is the rules for it. As you said, we've seen what happens when you just put people in there and you don't have to do anything.
Right.
I would hope that the city council, and I can't believe that they wouldn't, would have some rules here that says you have to, you've got 90 days to start moving yourself out of here.
Right.
Go through the programs, get the help you need, and if you don't do it, you're out.
You're exactly right, and exactly the way it is. It's a managed care program. It's just not a free-for-all. We can't just have a property owner go, hey, I'm going to put 20 of these on my property. No, they have to have a managed care system where there's case managers for each person that's in there. They have a time period. I believe it's 6 months. I'd have to go back and look where the maximum amount of time they can stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So transition out, or they go back into just they don't have housing anymore. So there are a lot of rules in place for those folks. And I think we'll see how the mission will be kind of our test, I believe, and they're going to put some on their property, and then they'll have the facilities to be able to support them, like laundry and bathrooms and showers and things. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about what Jonathan can do with those on his property.
Well, you know what? We've got to do something because it's not getting any better.
No, it's not. I think it's getting worse.
And like Nick says, and that's a great point, I mean, how many times can you move people?
Sure.
You moved them off of Yuba Street right in front of the post office. You moved them, so they went over to I think behind the flower mill.
So we cleaned out an area in south off 273 in Progress. They moved up into the area behind Market Street and Lake Boulevard up there, Sulphur Creek Hill. We've got some private property off of Oasis Road that the property owners are doing a good job helping us with getting those camps cleared out. They're everywhere. They're just it doesn't take long to reestablish a new location. Costco, the future Costco location, that area has been cleaned out.
They broke ground on that, I understand.
I knew they were going to start got their permits to start doing that.
One of our chat room people said they broke ground.
Oh, good.
So that
good.
Means that they'll take care of that problem.
Yeah, they've been a big partner with us since everything finalized on that. They put all the fencing up. They put security in. We were able to get the camps cleaned out. So Costco's been a big partner trying to keep that area clean.
What I think is disturbing is the campers along the river. When we go over Cypress and we see the blue tarps, I'm like, because we have such, we do the fly shop and many people come from all over the world to fly fish in the Redding area. And that's just always kind of, I don't know you can get in there and clean that up.
The guides have become so adept at this. They're looking downrange, downriver, and they see things and they flip that boat around.
Kind of like Romance on the River. That guy can go.
They just flip the boat around to try to avoid seeing naked people out there or whatever it is. However, I tell you what, we got a couple of minutes left. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Hi, well, Terry.
Wait a minute, Terry.
And me.
What about Linda?
Oh, hi, honey.
I'm good.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a tall drink of water. How are you, girl?
I'm fine. Now, what's your question?
Just a quick question. I was just wondering, because what Eric's change your heart would be on the jail, maybe the chief has heard something different, but he was for the rehab center. He wasn't for the jail. What changed his mind? When did he have this come to God moment. I'll just take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Terry.
Yeah, thanks, Terry. I have never heard Eric McGreaney not be in support of a new jail. From the time I've known him around here, we've talked about a new jail here in our community over and over and over again.
I think he's talking about the rehab center inside the jail.
Yeah. I guess I'm confused. He was the one. Eric was kind of the one that was spearheading getting some rehab inside the jail and some mental health commitments or treatment inside the jail. So I'm not sure. I don't think anything's changed with Eric. He's same Eric that I've always known.
Good. You know, what's a little,
I would like to talk
hullabaloo when it came to, you know, I guess everybody's got this conspiracy theory that, you know, some people, excuse me, have this conspiracy theory about McGreaney leaving and going, having a position. You know, I hear it on the street. I hear it with people. And so I'd like to get that cleared up.
I think you should ask him to come on here.
Well, I think Eric will come on.
Yeah.
And I'd love to bring Matt on at the same time because there are a lot of questions. And here's the thing. I've invited a couple of the city or Shasta County Board of Supervisors on, not to talk about recall. I do not want to talk about recall. I want to talk about what's happening, how, you know, are we moving at all, or are we stuck in mud? I think it's important that we address those things, like how about safety in the sense of fire in Shasta County? What can we do to clear out areas? And, I mean, my God, right now we've got like three fires that are touching Shasta County right now. Are we doing anything about that? I mean, that to me, that's a very important question, along with other things, jail and what's happening with you know, the sheriff's department. You know, they brought in Mike Johnson, obviously, and I asked Mike, as have everybody, probably including you, why?
Yeah, I actually told him he lost his mind, but.
Well, you know, he had a great reason.
He does.
He wants to help.
He does.
He wants to make it better. He doesn't have to do this. Mike could have just, you know, be out fishing someplace. He wants to make a difference. And you know what? It's like when you came in. You wanted to make a difference, and you have. So I, you know what? I applaud people, and they should be given the chance to do that and not be attacked by nefarious groups.
Yeah, I applaud him for taking on this role. It's a huge lift, and I'm excited to see where things go with him running the helm of the Sheriff's Department. I think it's going to be a good thing.
Okay, hey, we're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, of course, one of the top-rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare. Also by the Joint Commission on, for strokes, taking care of strokes, prevention of strokes, treatment of people who have had strokes. So many things that Shasta Regional Medical Center is top rated in. Plus being a good neighbor to our city. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We'll be right back after these messages. 8:31 in the morning, 68 degrees, going up to 103 today.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Californians can make history this summer, first by recalling Gavin Newsom, and on the same ballot electing a conservative leader with a proven record, Ted Gaines.
Hi, this is Ted Gaines. As a state lawmaker, I fought the tax and spend liberals at the Capitol. As an independent business owner, I fight big insurance companies on behalf of small businesses. On California's tax board, I fight to uphold Prop 13 and protect homeowners and taxpayers. I'm running for governor because we can rescue our state from Newsom's failed agenda. As your governor, I'll slash the gas tax and keep cost of living in check. I'll stop liberal plans to defund the police, and I will veto any bill that raises taxes, period. You deserve a governor who can transform California into a safe and affordable place to raise a family. I'm Ted Gaines. That's my pledge to you. Please vote yes on the recall and vote Ted Gaines for governor.
Visit TedGaines.com. Paid for by Gaines for Governor 2021.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Good morning and welcome back to our morning show here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Listen, you know what? We love SST oil. We have a card. And wherever you see the CFN card, and I like the fact that this is local. This is a locally owned business. People work through the ranks, became owners of
the employee-owned business.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, they're located over there off of 273.
They're on Wyndham Lane.
Right.
When we talk firefighting, you got to talk SST oil too, because they're out there providing the fuel for our firefighters, the jet fuel for the tankers. They have grown from a small trucking company to one that covers the western United States. They're always looking for good drivers, and they take real good care of their people. Like Linda said, they've worked their way up through the ranks to become the head of SST Oil. You can give them a call at 241-1167, and that CFN card that Linda's talking about is good in like 65,000 different places. So it's hard not to find a place that CFN doesn't work. We're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Schuller, and we're talking about the Eric McGreaney being appointed as kind of the public safety coordinator and the impact that can have. We've talked about what kind of jail we need. There has to be a rehab. We've talked about a question came up about the homeless, about these tiny houses are starting with a tail to it to make sure that it's just not a place to shoot up and to move forward in their lives to get them off the street. The marijuana interdiction, Siskiyou County, and we don't want to get to that, but Siskiyou County is, I mean, have they lost the war up there?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw Congressman LaMalfa up there not too long ago, and they were talking about what's happening up in Siskiyou County. And, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like, it's kind of like gangs. If you don't start dealing with gangs when they're in their initial small stages and try and deal with that problem. Then it can get out of control and get to a point where you can never go backwards. So, you know, I don't know a lot about enough about Siskiyou County, and I haven't talked to their new sheriff, but it does look like it is a problem up there.
And the what kind of problem do you feel like we have here?
In the city, we're doing a good job regulating it. We have a robust code enforcement team. We regulate grows that are in our city that are not in compliance with the law. We don't allow non-permitted marijuana grows, outdoor grows in the city of Limits. We do have some that are permitted that are large-scale commercial operations. They pay quite a bit of taxes to the city and permit fees to operate those businesses. And frankly, a lot of that money comes to the police department for law enforcement needs. So we do a good job in the city and the county. I think we'll get there. We'll get some of those illegal grows off. We'll start working into our forests and parks. And I offered my services to Eric. If the sheriff's department needs help, we're happy to have either our SWAT guys or MPU guys jump in when they need help.
I had this great idea, and and Mike just kind of nodded his head, is that when we go out after the big grows in Shasta County, can you have volunteers come out to help? I can imagine, though, that the insurance questions or if something happened to somebody out there, you know, I didn't think of that part. I was just thinking, it kind of shows that Shasta County wants to take their county back from the illegal pot farms.
Yeah, the cartel-run pot farms are dangerous.
Well, that's what you're out there for, security.
Right. So, this is 2005, I think we had Operation Alicia here, which was a two-week operation where we hit marijuana grows in the forest all throughout Shasta County. We had National Guard help. I was on SWAT way back then, and so we were part of that operation, and we flew in on helicopters and stayboat hanging off helicopters, dropping into these marijuana gardens. And there's very, armed to the teeth folks in these gardens.
Yeah.
It's not, sometimes they just run, sometimes they fight back. And sometimes they don't want to be there, but they're forced to be there, and so they'll have to take action.
Some of them don't even know where they are.
Yeah,
they're driven up there. They have no idea where they are. They bring food out to them. They don't speak English, of course. They'll give them an AK.
Yeah. And what I noticed when I was out there is just the amount of environmental damage that is done out there. They strip the landscape. There's fertilizer. There is human waste, food. You name it, everywhere in those, and they divert water from our streams and our rivers to water, and it just changes everything. It's a pretty phenomenal amount of damage is done.
A decade ago, I went to the Sierra Club and many other environmental groups and said, "How come you guys aren't taking a stand on these illegal grows? I don't care how you feel about marijuana, but look what it's doing to the environment."
Right,
and they just wouldn't do it. I mean, it's the pesticides, like you said, the runoff, the diverting of water that takes it away from fish and other wildlife around there. I guess that wasn't a big enough thing for them, but look where we are now.
Right. Now it's becoming a bigger deal. Yeah.
How big is the drug problem? What's your feelings on the drug problem? Fentanyl has become such a problem. You all arrested somebody, I believe. For giving a 13-year-old fentanyl. I think we discussed that already, but how big? How big a problem?
Fentanyl's a real problem. We had just an overdose a couple days ago where someone overdosed on fentanyl. It's unfortunate how often we're seeing it now in other narcotics. It's being used.
Is it laced inside of pills?
No, fentanyl usually is in a powdered form, and it's put into cocaine or even methamphetamine, which I'm still trying to figure out why they would do that, because that seems like the opposite of what you're trying to get out of it. But they'll use it for heroin, in other words, to give a different type of high. It's more addictive. The problem is it's so uncontrolled that just a small amount can kill somebody. And that's what we're seeing, these massive overdoses, because they're using fentanyl. And then because it's in a powder form, it's super dangerous for our officers, because they can just sniff that in powdered form, like it gets airborne, and they could immediately go into cardiac arrest.
Oh my.
Which is why they carry the,
Narcan or, Naloxone kits on their pockets, which they have used on people that have overdosed in our community to save their lives. It's dangerous stuff. We just got a grant through the California Highway Patrol. And then through some asset seizure money at our, through our narcotics task force, we're buying these new drug testing devices. They actually shoot a laser through the packaging, and then will tell us, presumptively what is in the packaging. So if it's cocaine, if it's fentanyl, if it's a mixture of both, all of those things. So we don't have to, cause right now, if we want to see what it is, to arrest somebody, right. We're going to. We have to take a little bit out of it, put it inside another little package, break these vials, and then it'll tell us.
Meanwhile, your hands are exposed.
Yeah, you wear gloves, we throw our masks. We have a vent hood that we use inside the police department so to exhaust that out, but it's still very dangerous. So now this new thing, and we've worked it out with the DA's office that we can use it in for arraignments and preliminary hearings. So we'll be able to test it using this device. It's very expensive. It's almost $30,000 for one of them. And then we'll be able to make our arrest, probable cause for that, and then we'll send it off to DOJ, and they'll test it for trial purposes.
In a bigger area with a lab set up for
that. Full lab.
Yeah. Have we found out, have we been able to trace where the fentanyl is coming from?
Mexico.
And how is it produced?
Great question. I don't know.
I'm wondering, it's like, you know, we saw...
You're ready for another conspiracy thing here? I've heard that China is producing fentanyl by the tons and shipping it. Now, that could be just total rumor control, but they're shipping it then through Mexico.
From our task force folks, I'm hearing it's coming from Mexico.
From Mexico, primarily. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Shirley. We got to take a quick break here. Hey, today... starting at 9 o'clock, right after the show, 9 to 11 at the Salvation Army, they have groceries for veterans. No appointment needed. Just go in there, present your DL with veteran designation or a DD-214, or show us your VA health card, and you get free groceries there. They'll go out and put it in your car. Also today, starting at 9 o'clock, you can go over to Reading Rancheria for Discover Health. Everybody's invited to attend this free event. It goes from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. today, and there's going to be vendors there, but you can get your health screenings at no cost. Blood pressure, body fat analysis, body mass index, cholesterol, diabetes pre-screen, and more. A lot of people have pre-diabetes and don't even know it, and it has a tremendous impact on your health. And for more information, just call Tim at 226-1734 or stop by today at the Reading Rancheria, and it goes to 2 p.m., and it's a free health event, health screenings at no cost. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
Let us brighten up your summer. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to play our Sunny Money Staycation Swipe to Win promotion. Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes. Weekly drawings Thursdays at 6, 7, and 8 p.m. Plus, winners receive bonus entries into the final drawings. August 26th, a houseboat vacation from Bridge Bay at Shasta Lake. Plus, $500 cash and a $1,000 gift card from Costco. September 30th, another $10,000 up for grabs at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, more fun. WindRiver.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with the California Adventure District radio show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area, from climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Reading Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Reading Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:50 in the morning, 68 degrees out there, going up to 103 today. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Their customer service is just outstanding. Give them a call at 365-3793. Tomorrow on the show, Linda and Trish are going to run amok here. Reading Rancheria, a couple other things going on.
So yep, it's
going
to be a fun morning.
Try to not get us thrown off the air. Okay. We're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Schuler. And we've been talking about the drugs and the fentanyl, the marijuana, you know, the marijuana problems we have, the moving of, you know, some possible solutions for the homeless problems we have, and the need for a jail. You know, without all the bells and whistles, we need a place to house people, but be able to house the real bad guys and girls in an area away from our just regular run-of-the-mill newbies so they don't get new ideas. Recruiting for both the sheriff's office and the police, and this isn't endemic for here. If anything, right. It's probably easier recruiting people for Reading than it would be for L.A. and those places. Is across the nation. Portland can't even fill their gun. It's a gun.
Yeah, it's like a violent crime task
violent
force.
Crime.
Yeah.
Yes, a violent mm-hmm. crime task force because officers refuse to volunteer for it.
Yeah,
they've had enough.
Yeah, so we have ramped up our recruiting program, trying very hard. We increased our signing bonus for laterals to $10,000 to sign with the Reading Police Department, $5,000 up front, $5,000 at completion of probation.
Now, why is that? it's roulette moves.
It is lateral police officers are beneficial because we're already established policemen, right?
Right.
We already know what kind of policemen they are. We can do a background check, see their, go to their employment records and see what they are.
Right.
And then they're up and running in, you know, 9 to 12 weeks.
And also though, but when they come to our system, there's a change in the retirement then. Is that correct?
It depends how long they've been a police officer. If they've been a police officer since, you know, let's say 5 years or less, they're already in the PEPRA system. So they'll be in PEPRA, they're in the new system already, and so there'll be no change. But there's a huge advantage because if we're putting somebody through the academy, it's a $40,000 to $50,000 cost for that 6 months, their salary, their benefits, all of that, and the cost of the academy. And then they have around on average a 20-week field training program when they get out, and then we're at, like I was telling you off the break, we're 45 to 50% success rate of those graduating and making it through the program. So laterals have a huge benefit to get them up here and get them hired and get them trained in the way our department does things. And in 8 to 9, 10 weeks, they're out on the street and they're a solo police officer. So it's
an example, if you don't mind me saying it, is you got somebody out of the academy before he could even start, he resigned.
Yeah, within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but you know that was one that you all had already 3/4 of the way through the academy. But that's what you're running into. You don't want to put somebody on the street you have questions about.
Sure.
But they also have questions, and after they're going through that 20-week training period, they may realize this isn't their job.
Right, and we've really tried to step up our program. So when we hire somebody to send to the academy, we assign them a field training officer before they ever go to the academy. Now we're going to bring them in even 2 or 3 weeks or a month early before the academy starts and get them firearms training, get them defensive tactics training, teach them how to write reports, get them started so they're better set for the academy. And then they have that mentor throughout the entire academy, and we continue to build them up. And then when they come back here for their 16 to 20 week field training program, then they've already got this base. So I'm hopeful that we're going to be better and more successful with recruits, but you have to have both. If you hire only 25 year olds or 21 year olds out of the military or that age, at some point in our department, we're going to have a mass exodus, right? Because everyone's going to hit the retirement age at the same time. So you want to hire folks in their 30s, folks in their 40s, in their 20s. You want to have a broad base.
You don't want everybody to leave.
Right.
The highway patrol at one point looked at losing a third.
Right.
A third of the highway patrol in 1 year. Now think about that.
Right.
Because they were all hitting that retirement age, and this also included their the admin support.
Sure.
You know, what kind of impact would that have on any organization?
Right.
So,
and we're competing with, you know, even the city of Paradise is they're either at a $20,000 or $30,000 signing bonus right now.
Oh, yeah.
Eureka is about the same. Right before I went to council to get approval for the $10,000, I saw City of Scotts Valley increase theirs to $40,000. So it's very competitive out there to get the few laterals that are willing to, you know, jump from one agency to another. So we're doing what we can.
If a law enforcement officer loses his CC, retired, let's just say retired, loses his CCW permit for some reason, whatever it is, and I don't even know if you know the answer on this, would they also lose their ability to carry as a as a retired LEO, do you even need a CCW?
You don't need a CCW because as a retired law enforcement officer, let's say you work for us, you get issued one by us. You have to qualify every year. We issue a new ID card, retired ID, with a LEOSA, Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, concealed carry permit on that ID. If they don't qualify that year, or they can't qualify, or they just don't want to carry it anymore, they don't get issued an ID. So at the end of the year, it expires, and they don't have one anymore. So if they lose it, it gets entered into the national database. So it's
never want to lose it.
Don't want to lose it, but yeah.
If they do lose it, I mean, you all will immediately pull that for cause. And it's in the national database, so they can't go into someplace else.
Right.
Okay. last, we've got like 2 minutes for, and you get the last thought.
Closing thought.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to show you this. I told you, I think, a while ago I wanted to show you. This is a new app that, and I know it's radio, so you can't see it out there in listening land, but this is an app that our GIS and IT department developed for us that in real time tracks our community work program. I also have one for our neighborhood police unit, but I just wanted to show you. So this is 2020 and to date, 2021. That's how much trash we've cleaned up. 1.2 million pounds.
I was going to ask you about that. 1.2 million pounds. That's this year?
That's last year and this year.
Last year and this year.
395.25 hours.
That's straight minute for minute for minute for minute cleanup, right?
And what else do we have there?
Contacts.
You know, shopping carts, 356 that we've taken off. Contacts 2,000, citations 137.
Now, can people see this?
No, this is an internal thing, but we are going to present this and show our city council at some point. I don't know if we might put this on.
Well, you've got a Facebook page
on our website at some point.
Yeah.
But it's got a map, and so you know, I'll get complaints that come in, or they'll come into city council and say, "Hey, this area is not getting looked at," and I can pull this map up and see exactly. You know, every area in town.
I mean, down to the house.
Almost. Yeah, and the officers have an app on their phone and the app side of this. And so they'll go when they're out there and they'll click, we're here. This is what we've done. So it's done in real time.
Wow.
It's really amazing. Like it. And it was all developed in house. So
great.
It's really, really helpful for me to keep track of what.
1 million pounds of trash last year and so far this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last year for 2020 was, 622,640 pounds removed. In 2021, we are 600,000 already.
Already.
We're 7 months into the
year. Is that because we've gotten better at collecting trash, or is it just because there's more?
Some of it was related to the pandemic, and, there was a lot, there was requests from the state for us to let the homeless camps kind of sit for a bit during the pandemic because we didn't want to expose the community. We wanted to keep the folks in the camps. But so some of that's that, and some's just there's more.